This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
I heard you've been looking for me, but you look for trouble. You're gonna see that your words are dangerous. Your talk is cheap. So now I'm standing here. Now I'm standing here. You tell yourself you know what to do. When you realize that I am coming for you, then you'll change your mind and run like a child.
I'm James Gruenberg alongside with Michael Cook. Michael, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Nice long weekend here. How about yourself?
Yeah, it's been a little bit of a battle. I actually tested positive for COVID, so I had to do a go through a little battle myself.
Well, as long as you're feeling better and family's safe.
And, yeah, it was a long uphill battle, but I got through it, and here I am now.
That's good to hear.
For those of you who don't know what me and Michael are covering, Extreme Resurrection is our podcast title because we're covering when ECW went on the Sci-Fi Network in 2006, when Vince McMahon and Paul Heyman and Tommy Dreamer decided, hey, we want to bring back ECW on the Sci-Fi channel. And me and Michael, we're covering all the shows that were on the Sci-Fi network. And we have two big shows that we're covering tonight. The WWE ECW from July 4th, 2006, which is at the Wachovia Center in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. That's a big show. And the ECW July 11th, 2006 from the Target Center in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Now, coming into the Wachovia Center in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania for the 7-4 for the July 4th ECW. Over the July 4th weekend in Hanging Rock, Ohio, Rob Van Dam and Sabu were pulled over for marijuana and drug use. Michael, what did you think when this happened? Because it changes the landscape of the WWE title and the ECW title.
Well, I mean, this is like probably the first big arrest you can think of marijuana or like a drug arrest since way back of Duggan and Sheep. And you didn't really think about it. But when this happened, I mean, this sent shockwaves everywhere because RVD finally got to the top after clamoring for it. I mean, he should have been at the top in late 2001, early 2002. He was hot as anything. And then finally, after years and years, and finally cashing in Money in the Bank, he wins the WWE title. Then, you know, ECW's created. Now, keep in mind, ECW, technically, it wasn't announced until as late as May 25th. So when we're going to be reviewing these shows, the whole concept of ECW Resurrected is only a little over a month old. And RVD's riding high. Both titles, and I mean, this had to just be a crushing blow. I mean, it almost, a lot of people, now that we look back at it, that might have been the nail that early. I mean, who knows? Maybe McMahon gave up on it right after that and was just like, you know, they blew it. But it lasted four years. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, so it's going to affect It affected the Monday Night Raw on July 3rd, 2006, and it's going to affect the July 4th, 2006 ECW. So let's get into our first show. Like I said, we're from the we're covering the Wachovia Center in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Last night on Monday Night Raw, July 3rd, 2006, Edge defeated John Cena and Rob Van Dam in a triple threat match to become WWE champion. So Rob Van Dam loses the WWE title to Edge.
Now, no one really knows on how long he would have actually held the WWE title now with the creation of ECW, but I really don't think it was going to be this soon.
Yeah, I think that I think that they were going to lean towards just Rob Van Dam being the ECW champion, and maybe they could have had Cena win, but then, you know, they went with the surprise of Edge winning the belt back. So they're going to go with Edge Cena feud for the rest of 2006, basically.
Yeah. So, but I mean, it's really, I mean, he only held the title for 77 days.
Yeah. So Paul Heyman covers Monday Night Raw. He honors Rob Van Dam as the ECW champion, and it says that Rob Van Dam is a hardworking ECW champion who defended both the WWE title on Monday Night Raw and the ECW title within, you know, months of just wrestling on both Raw and ECW. Big Show comes in and demands a title shot tonight. So that's going to set up our main event. So now we get Kelly's expose. Kelly salutes America in red, white, and blue. Now, I thought this was a good dance routine, but Mike Knox covers her up. And now we get a Mike Knox versus Little Guido match. I have to say, Michael, this match had a lot of unflattering chants from the Philadelphia crowd.
Yeah, you could say that. I mean,
they were telling Mike Knox he couldn't wrestle.
Well, Knox is still very, very new.
He's very green, as they say.
Yeah, he just debuted on the this year, basically. And New Deal's a crowd favorite. He's been an ECW stalwart. And keep in mind, this is Philadelphia. This is the home of ECW.
Yeah, so if they don't like you, they're going to let you know that they don't like you.
Keep in mind, this is the same city that booed Santa Claus.
Yeah. So Guido goes to work Knox with the legs, some stiff shots to Mike Knox from Guido. Knox works on the lower body. A backbreaker from Mike Knox to Guido. Guido tries to counter, but Mike Knox hits him with a big boot. And his finisher, which they don't know what the finisher is called yet. So Mike Knox gets the win in a squash match. I gave this match 1 star. I thought Mike Knox was a little bit impressive. You know, he did his job.
Yeah. I'll agree with you. 1 star. It was set up to be a squash match. And it served its purpose. The whole idea was getting him over as a heel, especially with covering up Kelly. You know, and I kind of like this finisher. I mean, we weren't seeing that at that time in the WWE. So I mean, and technically, as it goes on, he'll end up having 2 finishers. But I do like it. It's just too bad it had to be against Mingo.
Yep.
But then again. New Joke could have been one of those guys that are, you know, like they say about Xbox, you know, can work against anybody to make them look good.
Yeah. So then we get the Raw recap of Edge winning the WWE title. And then Rob Van Dam goes into Rob Van Dam goes into Big Show's locker room, and he smacks Big Show across the face and says, "I accept your challenge tonight." So the main event is going to be set up where it's going to be Big Show versus Rob Van Dam in an Extreme Rules match for the ECW title. Now, as we get into the ring, some guy literally just jumps up from the guardrail, gets on a microphone and says ECW's garbage. So then this is where the Sandman comes out. He points the guy out, and then Sandman just canes him.
Well, that was, he was known as the Priest. It was Tony DeVito, and Tony DeVito debuted.
Wasn't he in the Baldy?
I think so, but he was also Macho Libre.
Yeah, yeah, he was the DeBaldi twin. Yeah, I know that, yeah. And I guess they were just giving him gimmicks, and the Sandman just comes and canes him. So I guess in this show, the Sandman's still going to be my LVP because they're not doing anything with him yet.
No.
Just wait until we get to the next show. That'll be better, actually. So now we have Test making his debut for ECW versus Al Snow. Test unleashes on Al Snow, and Al Snow tries to counter, but Test hits his big boot and a spinning net breaker for the win, and then Test punts head.
That was
as a joke, basically, so we just punts him. I gave it 1 star, but I thought that Test was... I thought Test looked good versus Al Snow. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, again, another, basically, it was another design squash match to establish Test. You know, I was one of those, probably one of those few guys that didn't think Test was that horrible. I know a lot of people didn't like him, but I thought with, you know, during his startup, I mean, he started off strong. He started basically in the main event. But I don't think he did that bad yet. You know, when they're introducing these people, again, we talked about this before, that they're trying to win over, bring back the ECW crowd that probably didn't come over to WWE. So they're trying to reintroduce these characters. And then, you know, you already have, I mean, people know Test, the Raw fans, but maybe the ECW fans don't. And when you do that, you've got to introduce Mazzetta. And again, although I would rather had it been someone other than Al Snow, but again, Al Snow could have probably taken it, not gotten hurt, and helped out Test because, I mean, at this time, Al Snow was still training. The funny thing is if you heard in the background, they were busting his chops about steroids.
Yeah, yeah, I forgot about that too. They were saying, like, you know, Test takes steroids, and then, you know, with the whole Mike Knox thing, you know, you can't wrestle, and, you know, you suck blank, you know. So the Philadelphia crowd was very, very hostile towards a lot of the superstars. They pointed out that Test was a former Intercontinental Champion when he worked for WWE and, like, Monday Night Raw as well.
Now, I mean, we talk about WWE, and sometimes they have bad luck in where they film or where they have taping. For example, King of the Ring that Mabel won was in Philadelphia. Probably not the right place for that. When they tried their WCW experiment, they were in Tacoma, Washington, as opposed to being in Atlanta. And here, out of all places, out of everywhere they could have went, when they had to basically suspend RVD, Philadelphia was the one place that WWE had the bad luck of being this night.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, this is just a bad luck for Rob Van Dam, basically. So we get a Sabu promo. You know, homicidal, genocidal, suicidal Sabu. you know, we're going to be seeing him wrestle soon. And then it's also we get a CM Punk and Kevin Thorne promos. So they're going to be coming to ECW shortly. Kevin Thorne's going to be with Ariel and CM Punk talking about his tattoos and the straight edge life.
Now for me,
what did you think of CM Punk when you first saw him?
Well, I'll tell you, I do remember this episode. And the reason I remember this episode is basically what happened after, you know, the whole RVD thing, because I wanted to see what was going to go on. But I do remember seeing CM Punk for the first time and really hearing about him, about ROH and other things. Now, I had never watched him a single ROH match in my life, even to this day. I know it's pretty sad, but I've never seen any of Punk's, the Summer of Punk stuff. I didn't know any really much about him, is that people liked him. He was an indie darling. And being a WWE fan at that time, that's how I thought, oh, indie darling, we'll see how he is. I wasn't sure if the straight edge gimmick was real or not. Obviously, in later years, when I was actually able to read about him and did more shoot interviews, finding out it really was, well, quite impressed. But honestly, as a WWE fan, coming from those set of eyes for the first time seeing him, I couldn't imagine what, you know, from this, what would happen 5 years later. Never imagined.
Yeah, I know, and what a turn CM Punk had, you know, 5 years later, from ECW to WWE champion, and the rest is history. But we're not there yet, you know, we're just getting to the debut of CM Punk and Kevin Thorne. So now it's our it's already time for our main event. It's Big Show versus Rob Van Dam. The ECW title is on the line, an Extreme Rules match. Rob Van Dam gets on the offense. Big Show throws Rob Van Dam onto the floor. Van Dam pushes Big Show into the turnbuckle. And then Van Dam goes to the barricade, gets knocked down, and pushed into the crowd. Big Show smacks Van Dam and starts punching him. So basically, Big Show is dominating Van Dam at this point.
And the crowd is definitely not liking it. Even though, I mean, Philadelphia is a smart crowd, but they had to know what was going to happen. And the fact that it was Big Show probably didn't help matters.
I also forgot to mention too. Sorry, Mike. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Okay. Yeah, I mean, they don't like the Big Show either.
I mean,
they were also saying like marijuana too. So like, I guess the news leaked out that Van Dam was in trouble and like getting punished for this.
Well, I mean, it was online all over the place. So, and at that point, I mean, everybody was on the internet. And people knew, but I think what would have been better, and again, it's not like they had a lot of time to plan this, but I really think they should have done maybe a triple threat, just something, or a fatal four-way, do something to at least have suspense. I mean, even though you want the crowd was not going to go home happy this night at all, period.
No.
But with it being Big Show, I mean, maybe they should have put Tommy Dreamer in there and said, because Tommy Dreamer was having issues with Big Show, you know, in the previous episode.
Yeah.
And put somebody else in there. Shit, even put Cena. You know, do you know what I mean? You just put someone else in there. That way, maybe the fans might thought, oh, well, maybe this will happen. Because, like I said, they're going to shit on it, but at least don't let them shit on it for 13 minutes. Or 18 minutes. Sorry, 18 minutes. Let them at least have hope. And, you know, then, okay, so Big Show wins. But at least, I mean, it was 18 minutes of just pure dredge because of the crowd. They would have been better off. They would have been better off in Corpus Christi, where the crowd doesn't say anything.
Yeah, I mean, if it wasn't the Big Show, maybe you could have Tommy Dreamer beat Van Damme or somebody else. Do you think Big Show was the right person?
Well, based on where they go, I can see, you know, it's still McMahon's baby. He wasn't going to put it on Dreamer. There's no way. No way that was going on Dreamer. I mean,
I guess the Big Show, just because he was the heel, he just had to win the ECW title at this point.
They had no choice. The only way to save that somewhat is to do what they did with Heyman. They could not have Big Show win completely.
Yeah. So then Big Show dominates Van Damme. Van Damme gets a springboard sidekick, but then Big Show superplexes Van Damme, covers, but a two count, a bear hug to Van Damme. And then Big Show tries a choke slam, but then Van Damme counters it to a DDT, Rolling Thunder for a two count only. And then the Big Show, so we're getting close to the big swerve. The Big Show choke slams Van Damme for a two count, and then he choke slams the referee. Van Damme counters Big Show with a chair, a five-star frog splash. A five-star frog splash from Van Damme, and Paul Heyman makes the count. 1-2, but he stops. And he basically screws Rob Van Dam, and the Big Show slams Van Dam for the 1-2-3, and Rob Van Dam is no longer ECW champion. Your new ECW champion is the Big Show, and that's 2 stars. I gave it 2 stars.
I give it 2.5. Even though it was the Big Show, it wasn't horrible. Again, the fans. It didn't help matters with the fans, but the way, if you got to go the quick storyline with Heyman, you wondered, you had to do it that way, but you wonder why, since Heyman was the one that basically counted RVD as champion a month prior. We do find out the next show, little quick spoiler, but I'm not going to say it, but you know, you do find out why, so-called, the reasoning he did it in the next show. But they were, I know it's the same old WWE. However, they kind of were in a rock and a hard place. And they really, because of everything starting then, like the internet was big, they had no choice to barb Van Damme. This was, say, 1991, 1995. They could have probably swept it under the rug a little bit. But there's just no way. At this day and age, everybody already knew about it.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think, Mike, would have happened if Van Damme and Sabu never got busted?
Honestly, I mean, this is 2020 hindsight. I can really see CM Punk end up taking the title from RVD or RVD turning and having it Dreamer later on. That, you know, I mean, because if Big Show never had the title, maybe that whole blow up later on, as we find out, you know, a while later between McMahon and Heyman happened about Elimination Chamber. You know, who knows what it could have been, but RVD was so popular, he was riding high.
I think RVD would have gone into SummerSlam the ECW title as the ECW champion, and then we could have gone from there.
And Sabu, you never know.
Yeah.
Honestly, you just don't know with Sabu.
Yep. So we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to cover ECW from July 11, 2006 in the Minneapolis, Minnesota Target Center.
I gas hop when I hit my 6-foot pedal. I rock and got fans from ghetto to heavy metal. I took it to the next level. Guard gated the states and marble floors with a slight bevel. Hey yo, I hit the freeways to keep my guns toning. Get high, start zoning, get paranoid and leave my pits roaming. Then gently slide into the seat of my Bentley. Hit the town and if you're hating, you're jealous evidently. I fought platinum for the millennium, my ice bigger. Touch my watch on my chain and get shot at least twice near. I be the brightest star shining in the show. And everybody say ho if you love Mac 1-0. And to the female fan base that consume, you gotta be willing to give up the womb to see my room. So if you're about that and in your mouth I could burst, then meet me backstage and have some rubbers in your purse. What?
Get in when we fit in, y'all know the time. Crew ready, get the strip, y'all check the rhyme. She's in 2K, 9-9's behind. We hold front lines, our time to shine. You get in when we fit in, y'all know the time. Crew ready, get the strip, y'all check the rhyme. She's in 2K, 9-9's behind. We hold front lines, our time to shine.
I show psycho. Pull the plug and make the mic blow. I show no mercy, these mere mortals can't hurt me. It's such a pity, I hit the streets and stalk the city. I be looking for trouble, you better call me if you see that fool. That's the same dude I used to chase around school.
Come here
and take his lunch money and laugh cause it's funny. What's happening, loaf? My whole crew 100 folks. We ain't no jokes in them Chevys with the hydraulics. My game is so polished cause I got the street knowledge. Flossy, flossy, never let nobody boss me. I calls the shots and I takes the whole pot. Stop, drop down, don't wanna hear sound from nobody. We're straight turn out the party. I stays to myself, I don't mess with no haters. Spend it all now, save what for later. Up to my penthouse suite in my private elevator.
When we fit in, y'all know the time. Move back, get the strip, y'all check the rhyme. She's in 2K, 9-9's behind. We hold the front lines, on time to shine. We get in, when we fit in, y'all know the time. Move back, get the strip, y'all check the rhyme. She's in 2K, 9-9's behind. We hold the front lines, on time to shine.
It's the B-double-O, so act like you know. I'm sipping no more on my way to the show. What's cracking? All y'all invited. So throw your hands up, act a fool, and get excited. I leave your lip like biscuits when I kick it. Ghetto riffing, splendid, money's tremendous. Endless, sipping on pain mixed with Hennessy. Smashing in the drop top on them things down Venice. What y'all telling me? Life's in hell of me. Been doing this since rockin', whistle my melody. I stay calm, blew up spots like Vietnam. And all the kids go crazy for me like Pokemon.
We get in when we fit in, y'all know the time. Crew bang, get stripped, y'all check the rhyme. G's in 2K, 9-9's behind. We hold front lines, so our time to shine. We get in when we fit in, y'all know the time. Crew bang, get stripped, y'all check the rhyme. G's in 2K, 9-9's behind. We hold front lines, so our time to shine. Yeah.
Back, and we're going to cover now the ECW July 11th, 2006 episode from the Minneapolis, Minnesota Target Center. Now, this main event is a surprise main event when I heard what it was. Ric Flair is going to challenge the Big Show tonight for the ECW world title. Mike, when you heard that, what did you think was going to happen?
I had no clue, but I do remember watching this match when it happened. And it was actually good rewatching it. When I first heard it, I was just thinking, there's no way, you know, this could be a good match. But it ended up being surprisingly good. Well, in this one man's opinion. But I mean, I guess, like I say, Flair can wrestle a broomstick.
Yeah, Ric Flair can do it all. He can just go do Broadways for an hour and he can put his body, he can still put his body on the line.
And especially in this environment, at, I mean, how old was he at this time? He had to be 50 by this point.
Yeah. So we get a recap of Paul Heyman turning on Rob Van Dam and Big Show becoming the ECW champion. So Paul Heyman comes to the ring with Riott Security. Heyman made sure that Rob Van Dam lost. He says it's the fans' fault Rob Van Dam lost and that he had to suspend Rob Van Dam. But we know that that suspension is the 30 days from the drug bust in Hanging Rock, Ohio, over the July 4th weekend.
Yeah, and it had to explain so that why he turned. So, you know, in typical Heyman fashion, you can actually believe it. It's a believable story.
Yeah, it is. You know, and that he said, it's the fans' fault that we pushed Rob Van Dam to the ground and that they needed a new ECW champion because, you know, we were just pushing Van Dam, even though the fans wanted Van Dam, but Paul Heyman took Rob Van Dam away from us and he made the Big Show ECW champion. Paul Heyman says that he will lead ECW to the promised land.
And he did say he'd be the Messiah, so maybe you wonder where Seth Rollins got it.
Yep. So now we have Tommy Dreamer versus Test. Tommy Dreamer did not know that he was going to be wrestling until Paul Heyman told him in the back, oh, hey, you're next, and you're fighting Test. Test slaps Tommy Dreamer. Tommy clotheslines Test the outside. Test counters, and Test is just really beating up Tommy. A backbreaker to Tommy Dreamer. And then Tommy Dreamer goes for the Dreamer driver, but Test counters it and pins Tommy with his feet on the ropes for the pin. I gave this 1 star.
I gave it a half a star. I mean, really? If you're going to make Test the monster, a roll up? Really? No. The ending, was horrible. He should have been just total squashed. That was supposed to be the idea, you know, Heyman making Dreamer fight against this, you know, Test, and it should have either been, you know, a total squash or Dreamer winning in a long, you know, barely winning, you know, maybe him winning with a roll up, but yeah, the ending was horrible.
Yeah, Test putting his feet on the ropes. I mean, it's a heel move, but if you're trying to make a monster, you don't have the monster cheat.
Yeah.
So then we get an aerial promo with Kevin Thorne. So they're gonna make their debut eventually.
You forgot one little thing before that, though. Candice Michelle, when her and Kelly.
Yeah. Oh, you know, they're going to do the expose together.
Oh, darn.
So now we get the Kelly expose with Candice Michelle. And I have to say, Mike, there was a lot of action. What would you say?
It would not fly today. That is for sure.
It would not fly today. And, of course, Mike Knox. Now, Mike Knox comes up and he covers Kelly. However, the Sandman comes out and he doesn't like the fact that Mike Knox covered Kelly. So Sandman takes out his cane and he starts caning Mike Knox. And this is where I thought the Sandman made me proud that he finally was giving Mike Knox what he deserved for ruining the expose.
Well, and he finally gave him something. I mean, basically, he was there just to destroy all the sci-fi characters But, you know, hopefully this would lead to a feud where he might actually get in the ring.
Yeah. So then we get Sabu versus Just Incredible. But before that, we get a CM Punk promo about his tattoos.
Now, it's tough. You know, you can almost like that they're going the Kurt Angle route where he's supposed to be a face, but he's actually going to end up being a heel. Who, you know, it was tough to tell at this point.
Yeah. So then, yeah, and also, Michael, Mike, if you do recall, Kurt Angle is not on any of these shows. So where is Kurt Angle? That is the question.
I think this is when he left, isn't it?
Well, no, he doesn't leave until August. Like, he'll come back for a couple of more, but I'm just saying he's not on any of these shows.
That is.
And I was like, oh, I wonder where Kurt Angle is. So Justin starts on Sabu, bringing him to the ground, a front somersault from Sabu to Justin, and then a front flip leg drop for a two count. And basically, Justin sets up his own spot. He sets up the table, and Sabu puts Justin on the table and does a leg drop through the table to Justin Credible. I gave this a half a star because there was no clear winner, and it actually ends up being a disqualification. And Justin Credible wins by DQ because the match wasn't Extreme Rules, so the bell got called and Justin Credible wins by disqualification.
To me, it was totally pointless. No, I mean, it's nothing new that you've seen from Sabu. So it was just basically, to me, a waste of 4 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I guess they just wanted that, like, little hardcore, those hardcore jumps and a table spot. So they were just like, oh, hey, Sabu, go slam Justin around.
Yeah, and it really wasn't even, yeah. I just didn't understand it. But, you know, I guess when a table breaks, everyone loves it.
Yeah. So then we get a Balls Mahoney introduced himself. He introduced himself like we don't know who Balls Mahoney is. And if you watched ECW in the past, you would know who Balls Mahoney is. But he says he's going balls to the walls. So we'll see what kind of impact Balls Mahoney makes on ECW on Sci-Fi.
See, for me, I had no idea who he was. The only thing, you know, just seeing him on a one-night stand and being Xanthaclaw.
Yeah, that's right. Then we get a Ric Flair promo. He says he's going to chase down his 17th world title and says he's going to eat Big Show alive. And then we get a Shannon Moore is coming to ECW promo. So we're getting introduced to more and more of superstars who are making their re-debuts on ECW, like Shannon Moore. CM Punk is going to make his debut. Kevin Thorne, who used to be Mordecai, is making his re-debut. What do you think of all these promos from past ECW guys and past WWE guys?
Well, when you're building a new show, I mean, this show was going to have fans from both. So you're going to have fans from the WWE who might not have, like myself, who didn't really know much about ECW. And probably one of the whole purpose of it was the whole big time with the DVD sales, with the Rise and Fall of ECW, the two One Night Stand shows. They're trying to bring some of that ECW fan base back. I mean, so they're not going to know who Shannon Moore is. I mean, they're going to know Big Show. They're going to know those guys. But some of these guys, you got to introduce them. And Shannon Moore is now having the extreme look. But Balls Mahoney, I think you do, you know, someone like him, you do got to introduce him to both crowds. You know, and we've talked about this before. And you got to sprinkle in the, you know, the WWE guys. Because, one, McMahon was not going to let this stand on its own, no matter what anyone thinks. You know, there was no way he was going to let this go. I mean, why do you think Angle was drafted? Why do you think the first two shows had Cena and Edge? I mean, they're bringing out all the star power. I mean, look at now. You have your, what is it, their fifth show, and it's a Big Show and Ric Flair. Not that I would have ever dreamed of Big Show and Ric Flair fighting for the WWE title. However, in that promo, Ric Flair did say, you know, talk about his upcoming match with Foley. And it didn't make sense because, you know, he's almost, you know, going extreme to show Foley, hey, I'll fight in any match of your choice.
And you know what's funny is that, like, with ECW, like, you got to go back to, like, Monday Night Raw and stuff, and, like, why are these guys here and stuff? So it's a little back and forth-ish, but, like, you know, I think we're going to get to just focusing on ECW. Also, they said that Sabu is going to be now representing ECW at Saturday night's main event, too. So, you know, you just got to follow, like, almost, like, all the shows, basically.
Which is good, which makes sense.
Yeah. So, then, like, I noticed, like, when Payman was walking through the locker room, you know, you had, like, Roadkill, and you had, like, Balls Mahoney and all those guys. Maybe you should have started using them, like, for matches and whatnot. I don't know. What do you think, Mike?
Well, don't forget, it was only an hour long shows. And you know, we didn't talk about it, but on the July 4th show, you know, dark matches had Roadkill, Tony Mamaluke, CW Anderson, Punk, Sabu, Richard, Dreamer, Incredible. You know, it's almost like, if you want to equate it, because, you know, in the future, what it becomes, NXT. When it was an hour long, you didn't see everybody. You can only have so much in an hour long program. You know, you can even harken this back to the days of WCW in their power hour. You only saw a few people here at a time, and you might go a couple weeks without seeing someone, but maybe, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder, so you feature your main guys for a little bit, and then somebody gets a couple weeks off and then comes back. You know, and I thought that was, you know, a good appeal nowadays in NXT before it went 2 hours. But I mean, they had a roster of 25 guys. So obviously, you're only going to get 6 to 10 people wrestling a night.
Yep.
So now it's time for our main event. It's Ric Flair versus The Big Show, Extreme Rules for the ECW title. It's a standoff to start the match off. You know, Big Show has Flair in the corner, and then he chops Flair, so Flair goes to the outside, and then a commercial happens. So when the commercial comes back, Flair has Show in the corner. He's chopping Big Show. A press slam to Flair. And then Big Show starts headbutting Ric Flair. And then Flair starts bleeding. Which I thought was insane that Ric Flair was, well, not insane at the time, but like, you know, Ric Flair still getting busted open.
I mean, Flair gets busted open going to the grocery store. So, I mean, this was 5-5. This was 10 o'clock at night. So, what the heck, right? It's DCW.
I know, but just for Flair to get like keep on getting busted open, it's like, wow, he's still doing it. And if you saw the crowd, they were just gasping that Ric Flair was busted open and getting headbutted. So that Ric Flair gets a clothesline to the outside. He brings in weapons. He brings a trash can, a chair, and a barbed wire baseball bat. He tries to mount a comeback, but Big Show basically dominates Ric Flair until Ric Flair goes to his low blows. And he gave Big Show, I believe, was it 3 low blows, Mike?
It was.
And then, so then Flair gets the barbed wire baseball bat, hits Big Show, and then Big Show gets busted open. Big Show gets hit by a trash can and a chair, and Flair covers Big Show before a 2 count. Then Flair pours thumbtacks, and Big Show fell into the thumbtacks. Big Show got back up immediately, chokeslammed Ric Flair, and gave him the Cobra Clutch. Ric Flair passes out, and the Big Show is still the ECW champion. I gave this 2 stars, Michael. What did you give it?
Now, let me say, the match was bad. However, I loved it. I like Ric Flair. I like seeing him do different things. I'm not a huge Extreme Rules fan, never have been. However, I mean, I was 57 years old. He didn't need to be doing this. However, you know, when was the last time you saw Ric Flair doing, you know, it was 17 minutes, or it was 13 minutes. It probably went a little too long. I mean, it was basically a squash.
I mean, I would say like 2005 or like 2004 when he was like with Randy Orton in the cage match and whatnot.
Right. But, and the whole idea with this, it really wasn't for Big Show. It was more for Flair, getting ready for Foley. That's what basically this was. Which is fine. It has its place. Again, you know, they didn't really have much. They had to figure out what they were going to do with Show, like who was going to take over. And you know, you got to promote some things. You know, the whole ECW thing is still new, so to speak. At least they were, you know, at least after the match, you know, they were getting a thank you Flair chant, which you would never think from a Philadelphia Extreme crowd.
Yeah, but, this is the Target Center in Minneapolis, too.
Yeah, so, but, I gave it 2 stars also, only because, you know, one, seeing Flair go crazy, and actually, I did like the finish. I did like the Cobra Clutch. You know, something different from Big Show.
Yeah, so I thought Ric Flair was great in this match with Big Show, and him just getting all those headbutts, Flair bleeding, and Flair with the baseball bat hitting Big Show. You almost thought that Ric Flair was going to win. And when the Big Show got up after falling into the thumbtacks, it was like, uh-oh. And the choke slam into the Cobra Clutch.
Now, overall, this is 5 shows in. If I'm a if I'm just tuning into this, I mean, tonight, Test Feeding Dreamer, there's a vampire, Sabu and you know, and Ric Flair going extreme, and they got a lot of issues, you know, to with Van Damme gone, 5 episodes in, there's really been nothing to impress me. Nothing.
No, but I mean, like, I would say, who's gonna make the best debut, you know, because we have, you know, we have Test, Mike Knox, CM Punk, Shannon Moore, and Kevin Thorne. Whether or not they wrestle in the upcoming ECW shows, we don't know yet, but I mean, there's still a lot of debuts to happen.
Yeah. You know, even back then, I was just watching all wrestling, so it didn't matter to me. I mean, I was watching Raw, SmackDown, TNA, this. But it was very tough. It was fighting me to want to keep watching this. As, again, this is coming from someone who had no idea what ECW was about, and I can't even imagine what the big-time ECW fans were thinking of this. I mean, you still have time to go. I mean, again, it's new, so you got to give it some time. But I really think RVD hurt them bad. But you still got what would essentially be 3 more weeks until it comes back, and see how it goes.
Yeah, and the question really is where's Kurt Angle? I mean, we know what eventually is going to happen, but just not seeing Kurt Angle on two weeks of no wrestling on ECW for Kurt Angle makes you wonder what's going on with Kurt.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we know later on, you know, the personal issues, but Big Show is not going to sell this show. Pardon the pun.
Yep. So the Big Show is still the ECW champion. We have a lot of debuts coming in. Who knows what's going to happen? I was really disappointed with the Rob Van Dam suspension. Like, when that actually went down, I didn't know what actually happened to Van Dam over the weekend. And then when Heyman did the screw job, I was just like, what? I remember watching that in my friend's basement. I was just like, oh my gosh, Heyman double cross Van Dam, choke slam. And I was just like, no. And I remember where I was watching the Raw from the 7-3, and I was shocked. Like, I ran home from fireworks and to watch Edge win the WWE title, and I was mad about that too. I was like, what is going on?
Yeah, my son was only 2 weeks old when all this happened, so I was probably up with him watching
me. Yeah. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this week's issue of Extreme Resurrection. I'm James Groomer alongside Michael Cook, and we will see you next time for more on ECW on the Sci-Fi Network.
Trouble, you're gonna see that your words are dangerous, your talk is cheap. So now I'm standing here. You tell yourself you know what to do when you realize that I am.